Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness relating. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tethers my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.
Man, hope everyone's doing well. Having a good day. Hasn't been bad at all. Nice bit of sun today. Yeah, man, this is my Eskimo jumper, rude boy. Know what I mean? Yeah, man, so I was kind of excited, man. I had a bit of sun today. I thought I was in Marbella. I was just like, jeez. 20 degrees and everything came out. I was like, what? Yeah, man, could be a bit, get a bit of tan in this kind of weather. You know, that type of thing. But, yeah, man, I was happy just to wake up and see the sun. You know, you wake up, it's like, wait, man, it's extra warm. That's how it got me, man. It's like, yeah. As much as I was tired, I was thinking to myself, you know what? I could do me, despite how mad I feel. So, I was just like, just run with it. You know, I was like, let's just run with it, Rupert. Just go with it. You know.
That's the sun, I think, kind of makes everything feel good, even if you're doing something, you know, that's kind of mundane. It just amplifies everything. Just like, you know, it's a real statement for, like, we are creatures of the sun, especially if you've got some melanin in your skin. Like, but more so, you know, it's just the powerful thing, the sun.
Real talk, man. So, I was in it, until, for a few hours, I was out there into the afternoon, and then after that, it was a done deal anyway, you know, everything just kind of went after that, so. I didn't really pay much attention after that. It kept coming and going, but, you know, it kind of lost the whole, you know, and it was whatever after that, man, so. But in essence, man, it was a good day. You know, just some sun and just enjoy something different. But, you know, it's been freezing for a minute, and they're still, you know, speaking about, you know, all this madness about snow.
Oh gosh.
And stuff like that, and I don't quite know how I feel about that, truth be told, you know. We do what we do, man. We do what we do. How you doing, though?
Me, I am good. It's been quite I wouldn't say like completely relaxed. It's certainly been more easy going than past weeks. Sort of the right balance of work and then the right balance of just me, even when working from home, which I am today. Like, I felt like I could pop my head outside, open the windows a little bit, you know, wide, curtains open, put some music on while I'm working, you know, like.
Yeah, you mentioned a walk the other day. Did you manage to go for a walk outside of Sainsbury's, obviously?
Yeah, I did. It was really nice. Like, you know, sometimes it's like little things, like the trees are no longer naked anymore. That's how I describe it. Even some like flowers, you see, like, it wasn't a particularly warm day. It was kind of wet, but still, like, just, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's actually just like it's actually a thing to actually go to a park and not feel like, man, I'm gonna need my jacket if I stay too long. Do you get what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
it's a madness, man. But outside of that, London's not too bad, you know. London's been all right, you know. And, you know, a few scrapes here and there, you know, crime wise, but for the most part, I can't really complain, man. You know, it's been positive, and just going with it, just doing what you do, and just you know, making things happen for yourself. And for the most part, I've been active anyway. So,
yeah. Anything in particular, like you would say? No, it doesn't have to be like a big thing, but you know, everyone's got something that they can say. Like, I feel like. Not like I achieved something, because you always achieve something, but I mean there's something particularly that we're always proud of, even if it's a small thing, you know, like kind of.
Just trying to organize things, man. You know, I have things in the works, I have things I'm planning for, and I have things that are ongoing. So one of the main things I'm planning for is I have a book launch planned in July. So I'm just kind of ironing out the details and just kind of liaising with people. I think I told you about, you know, I was planning when I was last week, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just in the process of just ironing everything out.
Did you get a gift?
Oh, said not even thanks for the gift, people these days. Hey, I appreciate you, man. Sorry, I was quite paying attention there. Yeah, I think he said a rose. He said a rose. That's cute, my guy. I appreciate you, man. And you know, and I appreciate them as well, for real, because you know, every night, Freddie, see him. You know, they've shared, always supported us, and come and kind of chimed into the conversations and certain topics that we discuss. The one topic that they've always kind of you know, resonate towards, and always wanted to kind of always want to go back into it, is the topic to do with OJ. And yeah, I thought that was interesting. And to be told, they seem quite young, so I was of the opinion, I was thinking to myself, man, they seem pretty curious about OJ, but I'm not sure if they're too know OJ like that. So, but you know, hey man, OJ was the truth in his time, you know what I mean? Especially as an athlete, OJ was that guy. You know, he was special in his time.
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
You can't take that from him.
You know,
you can't take that from him, man. But yeah. But don't get me wrong, though. I just thought, let us just take our time and go into things. I'm prepared.
You always are.
Yeah, but I've got things we could unpack and just go into, but I thought, you know, there's no rush. We could just see if anybody wanted to chime in or speak on anything, just general questions before we go into things. One of the main things I always hit, I'm always asked about, is how are you able to go on live, you know? And and the answer to that is because I have a business page, because I'm an author, so I'm selling products, I'm selling books, I'm a writer. So if you check my page, you see some of the works I have on sale. And because of that, I'm able to advertise for, you know, I guess it gives me the ability to advertise and share things in real time about things I create, about things I have going on, my work, etc., etc., you know, that type of thing. And you know, which speaks to what we were just talking about. Yeah, the book launch. So it looks to be the 10th of August.
Okay.
Which should be a Saturday. The venue is going to be Dalston Lounge. I'm not sure if you've heard of that before.
I haven't, but so I can find it.
Yeah, they're not hard to find. Even on they have Insta as well. But they usually have supporters, that people that artists really. Mm-hmm. The ownership, the people that own the venue. Good people. People that I'm close with as well, people that I know, people that know people that I know, and I always try to go back there and support what they're doing.
Okay.
So it was the best place I could think of to have something of this magnitude and so important to me. Pertaining to a book launch, so I'm glad I'm able to do it there. So that's so I'm looking forward to it, you know. So the 10th couldn't come any quicker right now. You know, I'm looking forward to that, and yeah, man. So this book's going to be poetry event. I'm sure you said we love the lives, keep it up, superstar. Appreciate you, Freddie. Appreciate you, UNCM. Yeah, so the book's gonna be poetry event, which is as you know. And you know, I've never really broken down the, you know, there's always thought behind everything I do, so. I guess to break down the name of a poetry event, when you think about, I put it like this, you know, they say there's three people that always tell you the truth. Angry people, drunk people, and hurt people, I believe, is the,
okay,
is the third one. But in essence, when you think of a poetry event, you think of somebody that just lived at the event, right? So, I suppose in this sense, it's pretty much just speaking truth from my perspective, from my lens, the way I see it, the way I see the world, through the way my experiences and just the way I see the world. And, you know, at this stage of my life, manhood is such an important thing to me. So it just made sense to call the book Poetry Book. When you think about speaking objectively, you know, and being in, trying to be informed so you can give a balanced or objective opinion to someone.
Yeah.
Or balanced opinion, or create giving back information as well as therapy, or because you know a lot of art is therapy. At the same time, you can give so much back through that.
Yeah,
and so. That was the one of the inspiring factor behind the name Poetry Event.
So what's interesting is you say angry, you said drunk, you said hurt, right?
Yeah.
And that means at some point you've experienced all of those. When I say drunk, you don't have to think about literally drunk. You can be drunk on anything or any emotion. So you've been both the actor, and you've been both the observer. I find that quite an interesting dialogue.
Are you talking about pertaining to the three factors?
Yes.
Behind truth telling?
Yeah.
Well, I've never been drunk because I've never really been a drinker.
What I was saying was, I was saying, when I said drunk, that's why I said not necessarily literally. You can be drunk on a number of things.
Okay. So you're saying there's different levels to, different classes to drunk.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Do you want to clarify a bit more?
Yeah, so in the same way we can be intoxicated by alcohol or drunk, far too much, we can be intoxicated with things like power. You mentioned love in our last conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you can be drunk with rage, anger. It's really just saying, like, in the same way, yeah, we physically become intoxicated with a drink. We often become intoxicated with emotions. In fact, the drink is merely just the catalyst.
A catalyst for something that's already there, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think I wouldn't say my perspective of the choice of word is necessarily completely literal.
Mm.
Because, again, if you're speaking objectively, it wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't necessarily be out of anger.
Mm.
I'm merely using anger as the muse to say, okay, this is the truth.
Yeah.
Hence the vent. Because, when you think about a vent, like, for example, a volcano don't care who's standing underneath it, it's just gonna vent. It's just gonna throw it out there, right?
Mm.
Regardless of who feels what or who gets wet or, in this case, die, because it's a volcano, that thing is hot.
Mm. Yeah.
And in my case, I'm thinking about the truth. And so I think it's, and like I said, manhood. So, the work that I have in there, I think a lot of men also can relate to it. We mentioned the other day religion, and that's something that I touched in as well. One of the pieces, in fact, I think it's the very first piece in there, was inspired by religion.
Okay.
It's not necessarily anything new or revolutionary per se. I suppose I'm addressing perhaps the elephant in the room, certain things, but I'm doing it in my own way or my own viewpoint, my own lens, my own perspective.
Well, this is an interesting thing, because don't underestimate the word or the phrase or the purpose of refreshing.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what you're doing. And that's equally important, and the way you deliver it can make something that's being refreshed feel like it's being reborn.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, the reason why, I didn't necessarily think to say that, it's, like I said, it's something almost like the elephant in the room, because I think it's one of those things that everybody pretty much, if you're talking about, there's facets. So you could say objectivist, and you can say the wider population, even people that actually believe in, you know, religious scripts, etc., etc. And it's funny because to subscribe to something is to unsubscribe to something else. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, you. You
so, to say that, you know, you're Christian, that means you're not Muslim. You know, there's so many different things. Freddie says, how do I handle bullies at school? Have you gone through this time before? That's an interesting question. How do you handle bullies at school? Well, I mean, I'm probably not the best person to give that advice.
It's an interesting question, because basically my heart wants to tell you one thing, but my brain wants to tell you another thing, Freddie, in terms of how to respond. My heart will tell you that obviously sometimes in life you've got to defend yourself, but obviously just because you defend yourself doesn't mean you need to attack someone, but that's the assumption. But then my head is saying, think ahead, think one step ahead about the consequences of actions, you know, and the implications, because obviously you've got your life to live and things like that. So I would say, I'm not going to give you an answer, but I would say whatever you decide to do, don't assume or conform to typical stereotypes necessarily of pride or snitch culture, because it's your own well-being, and there's a way in which you can conduct yourself with bullies where you don't have to necessarily fight them physically. You have to basically display and give off the air of courage. So it's how you stand, how your frame is set, how you talk back. There's a way in which you assert yourself. Maybe you can avoid physical fight by just showing your courage in that sense, in a very
It sounds to me like you're basically saying you should bluff. Is that what you're saying?
No, not even bluff. I mean, you can say bluff if you want. Some people do.
I'm saying like bluff with conviction. Like if it ever kicks off, then hey, we're gonna have to tear this thing down. You know, have it out. You know, like pretty much what the martial artists say, where, you know what, I'm not looking to fight, but if I have no choice, then I will, you know, type of thing. But my first go-to would be to actually try and find a way to avoid physical contact, or like where I have to defend myself. Try to use my head to get myself out of the situation before I have to use my hands and feet.
And I say, Freddie, sometimes bullies are just looking to test you in the first place. I'll give you an example. I remember when I was 15 and we're standing in a corridor, there was a guy who was a bully, used to start fights and everyone punched them up. And basically, he once said to me and a group of other guys, oh, I'm going to start punching one of you lot up. You can stay here and take it, or you can leave. Now, this might have been foolish at the time, but I remember staying because I was like, hang on, that means every time this guy does something stupid, I'm going to run. No, let me just feel this out. And again, this could have gone differently, but I stood there and everyone left and he was there. He came up to me in my face, looked at me if I was going to flinch, and I didn't. Then I thought he was going to try something, but he didn't. He stopped. He goes, oh, I rate you for staying. And then he patted me on the back. And he carried on.
I hear you. And that's real as well. That's pretty much how bullies operate. I mean, if you want to, there's two ways. I could tell you my experience with it, and then I can tell you what the ideal thing to do, like how you're supposed to handle it. You know, there's two pieces at play. You know, there's the standard, and then there's, you know, eventually how you handle it is how you handle it, type of thing, you know. So the ideal thing to do, well, you know what bullies respect is, once you stand up to a bully, normally that's usually when, you know, they that's pretty much their kryptonite, you standing up to them. So if you actually, you know, you're brave enough to actually stand up to somebody, then normally they would think twice about, you know, actually bullying you or trying to create conflict with you, because now that becomes a situation. And most bullies are it's a weakness to bully people, and it's an indication of weakness if you're trying to bully somebody, you know, that indicates insecurities.
Yeah, so that's an excellent point. Their foundation in the first place isn't that firm, that, you know, in the first instance.
Yes, absolutely. So what it is, it's like now to actually go head on or straight towards somebody. I don't necessarily have to be physical, it could be verbal, but it's just that if you're trying to address somebody directly now, it's like, okay, it forces them to really kind of reevaluate their situation. It's like, you know, is this wise? You know, am I wise in trying to mess with this person? Because, you know, they seem to be ready for whatever comes next, whether that means physical or embarrassment or being exposed. They don't seem to fear it. And, you know, ultimately that's the real thing. Like, do you fear this person? Because if you don't, it pretty much means you're pretty much open to pretty much fight every day. And I don't think that's the commitment somebody signs up for when they decide, you know what, I'm gonna be a bully. So, you know, you bring so many questions into play.
It's very much, a lot of the time it's about the illusion of invulnerability and strength. Once you take away that, there's the substance isn't actually there. So they want to cast the illusion of power rather than the substance of it.
Yes. And so pretty much, in essence, that the only way is through. So you can't go around, you can't run away, because you just empower them. So the only way is through. So now you have to address it. And that's pretty much what it comes down to at the end of the day. Now, what it is, whether you get beat up or whether you are the one that you're the victor in this whole conflict, now that you're trying to address directly, what's proven now is that you're not scared, you're not as weak as somebody perceive you to be. CM says some people might bully because they are trying to fit in with their friends and act cool.
But that's insecurity as well, because they don't have any identity of their own.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, at that age, it's natural to have certain insecurities, but certain people, it's just they choose to handle it the wrong way by, you know, taking out their frustrations on other people, hence bullying. So you just have to be aware of certain situations. So of course, you know, you always, if you're in that situation, then you always try and try to verbalize and try to you know, get yourself out of the situation and avoid, you know, physical situation, conflicts, etc., etc. You know, Freddie says, sometimes they try to look cool in front of girls.
They all try to look cool in front of girls at some point.
yeah, that's pretty common with a lot of people as well, you know, trying to look cool for not only girls but their peers. You know, that's the biggest thing at your age as well. Peer pressure is a big thing, you know. So you have to be mindful of that as well. I was somewhat a little bit different. I was never really the type to I was more the guy that used to love to fight in school, so I was a little bit different, you know. I never really had situations with bullies like that, because I was always the one fighting, so it's a little bit different for me. But at the same time, I grew to an age where I had to kind of rethink, you know, how I addressed situations, because I started to realize that, you know what, sooner or later, the potential for putting myself in situations where it could borderline be dangerous or hurt somebody, it was a bit more closer to home than I would imagine it to be. And potentially it was only going to get worse, you know. So eventually you come to a certain age where you have to curb your enthusiasm for certain things when it comes to physical altercations, because you're only going to get yourself locked up, if you get what I mean. So just be careful with the choices you make, you know, because eventually, if not at first, they do lead to repercussions, and you have to kind of be aware of what comes with your actions, especially as a man.
Sometimes losing your pride, or bruising your pride, or maintaining your pride, sorry, it's not worth the price of freedom, because then you have to understand what's the driving force behind this pride you have. Sometimes it's about ego, like thinking you have to do something, and it's a show of strength against the bully. But we're talking about how you choose to respond to it. But as you get older, especially as you get older, you need to think about your future, and you need to think about what kind of life you want to live, and then the repercussions of taking certain actions. It's not just the physical repercussions, it's the mental as well, because that affects your whole being, how you interact at work or whatever, and your outlook and how you respond to certain things, even in relationships, familial or platonic or romantic. So you've got to remember, these things affect your whole life in terms of a mentality.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, you know, whatever happens, it's like you still got to keep your head on how you're supposed to handle things and what comes first, as opposed to what comes last, because you have no choice. Okay, so this is where we are. So that's pretty much how it goes, I would say, in my opinion. So, nobody deserves to get beat up. So if you have no choice, then of course you defend yourself. But I would say before it gets to that level, just try and figure it out. Try and find a way to, make the situation in the bud.
Freddie, even Mike Tyson's a changed man.
Yeah, but as you saw, Mike Tyson, it took him a long time to mature as well, you know. It didn't just happen overnight. And just along that road, he's lost so much.
Yeah.
But I would say he gained so much more. Said Mike Tyson didn't even want to fight growing up. He got bullied. At first.
Yeah.
But then he was knocked. He was the neighborhood knockout guy after a while, you know.
I think when he realized how physically powerful he was for his age, especially.
Yeah, man. He was a grown man at what, 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Mike Tyson was a neighborhood knockout guy from a young age, and you know that's pretty much, you know, even Mike Tyson, he was actually discovered in prison. He was in the was it Young Offenders when they discovered him, or whatever that version in the US would be for the youth, like youth
prison. Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually discovered in prison. And by his trainer, Costamaro. So, you know, before Mike Tyson became who he was, you best believe he went through turmoil, I'd say a large part of his life, a lot of trauma and degeneracy that I think fueled his rage, which he pretty much displayed when he went into the ring after being trained and learning to be who he was disciplined to be, essentially, in the ring, etc. So, yeah, man, you know, like we said, there's repercussions, there's choices that come with everything. And you just got to, I'm not saying you can't choose, you know, the madness, but you've got to be ready for what comes with it. And just know that, you know, I'm responsible.
And appreciate that. How tough you are, there's always going to be someone tougher than you.
Yes, that's the other thing. So, you know, you get to a point where it's just like, you know, everybody has their day. You're not going to win every fight. And so, no matter how tough you are, he's right. There is going to come a time where you're going to find somebody that's tougher. Or even you just having that type of day where you're just not in a condition to really, you know, be the victor, because that's just you just got your number on that day. And so even in situations like that, Mike Tyson's been in situations like that, but again, he had the head for it, because even now when you hear Mike Tyson speak, he was the first person to tell you, you know, you got to be so forgetful. You have to have almost like an amnesia mindset when it comes to taking L's and losing, where like, yes, I lost today, but tomorrow's a new day. You know, you can't dwell on it. You can't let it eat you up. You've got to let it go. And I think that's one of the main things that you should probably take away from this conversation, is that, you know what, when it comes to whether you're, especially if you're the one doing the bullying, there comes a time when you know better and you're looking to do better. You've still got to let go of what it was before then. Ooh. Because that will most likely follow you and kind of create situations for you that you might not necessarily want for yourself. So there's so many ways that, you know, to take this, and it can go. And so you have to be careful, man. You have to be careful.
Yeah, I mean, but, I had a couple of final 2 cents on this particular thing. I think the first thing is, there's always a path for redemption, but remember, there's a price to pay. The further we go down the road, the heavier the price you pay to get out of it. That's the thing. So remember that you can stop whenever you want to, but just realize that as you go further along, that which it takes to actually redeem yourself, get out of that situation, it might be far higher in terms of the penalty you pay. And then, like, secondly, victory to you one day, where I'm using the fight as an analogy, might just be knocking something to the ground. But however, but the other person, victory for them might mean you getting stabbed or ending up in a hospital or something more serious or sinister, that might even threaten your loved ones. That's an extreme case, but that's just giving you an idea of not everyone is the same frame of mind or headspace as you, and you might think this won't go past X. Not, you know, some people think differently, let's just say that.
Yeah, and so, you know, in essence, at the end of the day, I think what we're saying is, we can't tell you what to do, Freddie. He says, CM says, I've fought bullies in my school, but I took it outside of school, and they were too cocky, and they lost. Well, there you go. You know, it was your day that day, you know. But as we're saying, we can't tell you exactly what to do. I think, you know, that's going to be, you're going to have to make that decision. But what we can do is outline, you know, the possibilities that comes with whatever decision you make. But at the end of the day, just know that, you know, with any decision you make, there's going to be stipulations and rules of engagement that comes with it, as well as repercussions. So be responsible, and just make the right one, man. And you know, do right by yourself more than anything. You know, I know I what I would do, but you know, you've got to make this for yourself, because this is your life, and this might most likely will not be your last situation. Because that's just what life is about. They come and they go.
You know, sometimes it's easier to forget about battles and focus on the war, whatever that is. And when I say war, I'm talking more life. Like your long-term goals, life. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, man. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like what we're saying is like, you can't fight everybody. You know, no matter how much of a bad man you think you are, you can't fight everybody. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, when you get to our age, because I'm 32, you tend to want to be responsible and avoid it. You actually don't want that, because it's a little bit different when you get to this age. A fight is not a fight anymore.
No,
do you really get what I mean?
Yeah.
A fight is not a fight anymore, where, like, you know, you're in school, you fight and you forget about it. Nah, you don't forget about fights at our age. You know, it's a little bit different. And people don't, though, it's kind of like, you ever see the lions in the wild? When they fight for the pride, it's like, you best believe in the end, one of those lions, they're not going to live to see tomorrow. That's pretty much how it is, you know.
We both have a lot more to lose, man, on the line for that, for a fight. I'm telling you, like, especially if you're a grown person and you've got a family to depend on, you've got a job, you know, you've got all these other things. You've got a lot more to lose.
Yeah. CM says, I do kickboxing, so hopefully I will be in the competitions.
Yeah, that's the healthiest way to fight, if you're going to fight, that you're...
Yeah, I agree. So how about this? I'm not sure if Freddy is well-equipped as CM is, but how about you invite this bully to a boxing match? Or you invite him to a kickboxing match or something, whatever. But make it fair. Make it have rules. Make it have a safe zone where, like, you can really handle your situation fairly. Where, like, you know, nobody's really gonna get hurt. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you settle this, whatever this situation is, whatever this problem you have. And it's funny because, you know, we talk about the only way through, right? And that's another way of work. That's another way as well. Because if you come to a bully and you're like, you know what? Clearly we have a problem. How about we have a boxing match? What do you think about that? Now, I don't know about the bullies that you're dealing with, but the ones that I imagine in my head, they would probably not be involved. They probably wouldn't want the smoke, you know? So, because that's usually how bullies work. They prey on fear, they prey on the weak. And by you, you know, requesting something like that, actually being open to conflict in such a way, you know, you pretty much just kind of graduate from victimhood. You know, victim anymore, so you'd probably be trying to go the other way, you know, and avoid you at that point. So take with it what you will, but as long as you handle it responsibly and you know what the repercussions are, I think, you know, that's the best way to go about it. But yeah, so it's interesting, you know. We was talking about venting, etc., and it led us to bullying. So I never really saw that coming. You know, that was interesting. Yeah, man. So this the life we lead right now. So what do you think? Did you you think we should just leave the topic and just leave it as an open space tonight?
I mean, is the topic related in any way to any of this? I mean, to be honest, the free conversation has been really valuable, I think. And I think it's always good to give advice and talk these things out of with other young guys, you know. I think this has been really valuable. This has been nice.
Yeah, it's somewhat different than what we're used to, you could say. Just in terms of interacting with people more, because normally we just kind of check the live and just go through messages, but not necessarily address. Not in this level. Situations.
I mean, this is good because it's the first time, and obviously some of the questions that I've been asked have been really insightful, and we felt like we could give, which I'm grateful for, and thanks to Freddie and CM. What if we did like half and half kind of thing, just went and see where this the first half of the freestyle went? Don't know.
I don't mind, but what it is, it's like we're back anyway on Thursday. It's Tuesday today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
So we'll have another day, and then after that, we're back on the Sunday. So, you know, we'll always have time to address new topics, new things. So that's why I'm just like, you know, just maybe tonight we'll just let it run.
Alright.
That's one of the main reasons why I wanted to create spaces like this. To just interact with people more when in fact they have questions or they want to ask certain things. We can have a free space where we can actually interact different things like that. So that's where I was coming from with this live, because you know, I still plan to do, like, you know, one-on-ones and just, you know, in studio type of things. I have one coming up, which is going to be in about 2 weeks.
Okay,
so that one's going to be directly on Spotify and YouTube.
Okay.
By the way, do you have YouTube? I'm not sure if I have you on YouTube.
Me?
Yeah.
I do have YouTube. I'm just sorting out, there's a bit of admin I'm doing, but yeah, I can pass you on the details. Yeah. It's sort of, yeah. Yeah.
All right, take care, CM. Said he's just going out.
Oh, cheers. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in. Yeah. Yeah, just add me so I can find you, or
okay.
Let me know your YouTube. And you know, I've been thinking as well, we might actually, you know, we had a one-to-one collab once, and I've been thinking about that. It will be time soon, well, I think. it'd be good to have a sit down again, or just even if it's a thing where it's a three-way situation where we have another guest and you just join me, man.
Yeah, if it's a sit down, I think I found some studio space. It's not that expensive.
Because I've actually got space now. I've got space where I can do what I do.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely up for that.
Yeah, man. I'm just waiting for the time because I've been I have a friend, a photographer that wanted to do some work with me. So I was just waiting for him to be ready for a certain time so we can do this whole thing. So we have a date now. We're the first one. But I'll keep you posted on that. I just need to create some stuff. But I can tell you for sure, it should be good. It's going to be me and my friend D Magic. We're gonna have a sit down and finally do an episode. We've been planning to do it for a while now.
Okay.
But I wanted to kind of get a space sorted before I actually go ahead with it. So now we've got that sorted. Things are falling into place. It's gonna be very soon, and then start putting out more videos of in studio type of thing. I'll still do, you know, like I've done a lot of international episodes this year and last year. A lot this year. We spoke about that a little bit. So that's the thing, man, just to kind of, you know, keep growing, increasing quality and share things, stay in my lane and just keep creating and just chiming in, but, you know, giving from that viewpoint where it's pretty much, you know, how I see things, you know, that type of thing, as opposed to whatever, pandering to certain type of, you know, yeah, that's not it. And just keep growing the platform with the branding that I've kind of created. And, you know, like, hey, the Mad Poet is here, man. So, you know, we're doing what we do. And just keep going with it. You were speaking to me about your platform a while ago, and you said to me that you were looking to go into a new direction. Have you perhaps figured out that new direction now?
Yeah, I think I'm quite clear on the direction I want to go in. I think I want to continue or maybe expand upon my own interactions with different audiences. But I'm really interested in people's stories, a lot of creatives, writers. I'm interested in their struggle and their overcoming. That's my real thing. I recently had a couple of interviews and one chat offline with some poets, and the amount of trauma they've been through, obviously it bleeds out in their work, but you know, some of it's quite it's like the beauty, but then there's a tragedy. Some of it's really intense, like, you know, things they've been through. And I feel like, personally for me, there's a need to actually get, because a lot of these people, they're very open to thinking about these things, because they feel like by communicating what they've been through and why they write,
yeah,
they're helping others, and they are. And so I've been really fascinated with that. I don't know why people write or how they found their purpose, but what were the obstacles? Some of it is quite dark, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've heard similar things out there where certain people will kind of express certain art, and it's so heavy, it's so dark, it's so raw, and it's unbalanced. You know, there's no silver lining per se. Mm. And it's just, you can tell this person is still struggling with their plight, and they don't really have a way to kind of handle or figure things out. And you know, sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, or maybe it's a revelation where, you know, art is not necessarily always a way to, it's not always therapeutic. It's sometimes it's a voice, it's a mic to call for help. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. It's like if you imagine the mic and then you've got A and you've got B and you've got a long line. Mm-hmm. It's helpful in the sense it can either be the catalyst for change or help. It can either be the almost like the medicine, or it can be like the cure. So it's almost like there's a, yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man, it resonates with me. And you know, that's partly one of the reasons why I appreciate having a voice or a platform where, because primarily, you know, I speak with creatives for the most part. I mean, I've had a few business people here and there, but for the most part, it's always been a creative platform, because I am a creative myself. So, you know, I relate to their situations, and you know, I've pretty much figured things out for myself, which is the reason why I found myself in this place where I want to give back, you know. So, if I can share or aid somebody with their situation, then that's pretty much one of the purpose of this platform.
Mm.
You know, so people can, creative like myself, can be inspired, or they can find little trinkets to help them.
Mm.
And you know, help them get through the day. Certain things they can perhaps listen to, and they can find information to help them with their situation, and just keep going, man. That's one of the that's one of the things I subscribe to. You know, just get up every day, just keep going.
So actually, you just remind me of a question I wanted to ask you. Actually, I wanted to ask you the reason or the meaning behind the phrase "venting for pee."
Venting for pee.
Yes.
You know what it is? It's like I've created a culture for myself. So I come up with these phrases. Poetry vent was one of them. So poetry vent was not just you know, a name for the book. Poetry vent was something I've been putting with, like, little quotes that I've created over the years from the pieces I write over the years. So it's, you know, there's poetry vent, and so you have venting for P, venting for poetry. You know, that's what the P stands for.
Okay.
You know, venting for poetry, poetic thoughts. Of course, you know, poetry journal. Poetry journal was the very first book I ever published. Because, you know, before there was direction, there was poetry journal, and it was just a journal, an archive of my experiences, because I write from my experience. So whatever I'm going through, that's pretty much my experience, and I'm just able to kind of take a snip and magnify the poetry, you know, whatever the experience is, and just pretty much just, you know, paste everything on a piece of paper. But I'll paste it in a way that, you know, like I said, these days, you know, the mad poet just resonates because and, you know, I've thought about that a lot. Why did I decide to do that? Because, you know, I realize, you know, a lot of people that, you know, truth tellers or the objectivists people, you know, they end up getting the label as the madman, you know, because it's easy to dismiss somebody that you think is crazy, insane, deranged, mad, you know. And so mad poet made sense because I think, you know, certain things people would probably dismiss, that I say people would probably dismiss as, you know, you don't really have much sense in you, you know?
I think it's almost to me like this is sort of a double entendre kind of effect. So on the one hand, here, I'm going to start off with a phrase. Obviously, in the spirit of my past religious background, but just in the context, I think it's wholly appropriate. What was the phrase is, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will hear. And why I say that is because, and I mentioned my previous statement, I said it's kind of like a double entendre, because those who have an ear to hear will understand that the madness actually, so to speak, is actually a fantastic quality. It's actually powerful. In fact, creators, many people who are on that wavelength can create. Madness isn't necessarily associated with the mainstream term. There's a power in it, there's a beauty in it, when it's controlled. And the one, so those who have ears to hear will hear this. They will see the majesty and the magic in the madness, so to speak. And then you have those who just think that you're mad based on that's just based on the precept of not being able to hear, not understand, or won't get it, or if they're not in, if they don't resonate with it. So you do straddle the line between genius and madness, and a lot of creators do. I find that an interesting tension.
Absolutely. You know, when I think about certain people in this whole space, even as famous people, you know, that comes to mind as well. Even the whole idea of blood companies, you know, where like you get so high off your own supply that.
Hold on, you're going a bit robot in your voice.
Do you hear me now?
It's very low.
Now
it's a little bit, I don't know, speak and then I'll
yeah, so I was saying,
okay, yeah, that's it, yeah, that's good.
I was saying, you know, you, as a creative, that's why it's so good to always try and keep your balance, because you have certain people that, you know, they get used to getting high off their own supply, so to speak. So long that you know, you develop a God complex, and you just have to be careful when it comes to certain things like that, because it corrupts your lens in a sense, where you can't see, you tend to not necessarily see things for what it is. And you know, there's a fine line, so you just want to be careful. And that's why, you know, for me, being objective is so important, because is a certain groundedness that comes with it. You know, you don't see things the way, you don't see things how you want to see them, or how it benefits you, you just see them as they are. At least you try to, constantly. Yeah. You know, that's a constant that you try to stick to. You know, so yeah, man, it's tricky. It's a double-headed sword, but yes, madness, ecstasy. I mean, we already spoken about, you know, the whole drug situation, and even love, you know, is up there with ecstasy. So, you know, all these things, man, they're, you know, they either drive you to clarity, or they drive you to craziness, to madness, to so many different situations where it's hard to get yourself out of sometimes. It's hard to find your balance, so to speak. You know, and that's when life gets tricky. That's when life gets tricky. But yeah, I think it was a decent discussion, considering we just went with things and just interacted with people today. I think things went well. Let's wrap it up at this point, and we can kind of reconvene and go back deeper into things on Thursday.
Yeah, man.
But it was a decent night. I still enjoyed what, you know, discussed.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it a lot, and I was really pleasantly surprised with the chat, and then, you know, the way in which, you know, conversation, and I was actually glad for that contribution.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about, you know, just interacting with people, where they can kind of inquire, or, you know, ask questions, and you know, we're old enough to kind of give a different perspective, and being creatives, artists ourselves, you know, you never really know what you're gonna get, but there's your way, and then there's what it's supposed to be, I always believe. So that's why I always try to give two perspectives. There's my way, or how I would handle it, but there's also the way it's supposed to be handled, in my opinion.
That's fair, I think.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with it, man. That's where we're at with it.
Cool.
All right, man. Good chatting. So, so we'll be back on Thursday, and then we have another one Thursday at 9, and then we have another one on, it might be 10 actually on Thursday, but yeah, definitely between Thursday at 9 or 10, and then we have another one on Sunday.
So yeah.
All right, you're through to the Mad Poet, the host of Poetry Journal Podcast. And on the line, I have the philosopher's poet, just always chopping up game and just speaking on our viewpoints and just having a discussion about things. Appreciate you.
All right. Cool, man. All
right, man. Take care.
Take care.
Mind over matter, overcompensating, overstatements, crookedness relating, the soul's churn in return, mental overstimulation, one word, riveting, it tethers my pilot, streams that are promised to make seeking less.